We are here to hear his word and to unite us with him in prayer and to let him speak to us through his word. It's not easy for me to stand here this morning. I'm also very overwhelmed from last night. It was a sermon of Brother Branham in which we were all addressed and where a mirror was put before us to find out whether all that, what was said there, what is required there, whether it is with us and in us and through us, if it has become manifest. And with such sermons, it is different than if one would just speak about knowledge or about teaching, which bypasses us, bypassing us in the sense that it doesn't hit us directly, but that it just serves for our teaching. These sermons, which we are dealing one after the other in sequence, as they were preached since the year 63, and in the past weekend, we dealt with a sermon, The Perfect Faith. We used it to let God speak to us. And we found out that there where the Lord revealed his perfect word and his perfect will, there he manifests in them who believe it also this perfect faith, which distinguishes from the general faith. At all times, God's people had general faith, but then God has given special promises, and these special promises in those who believed it worked perfect faith, those who were addressed, those who were spoken to, and who were ready to do the will of God. We found out that also in this time there is a general faith, but the special is to be searched for and found therein that God has given promises and that he has people on earth who believe it, and in them the Spirit of God works based upon the word, that what God intended to do. We will just continue to read from the sermon, letting God speak to us. I was reading in John, in chapter 6. I looked on verse 27. Here it says, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. This is actually a statement which we find very precious, because it was the statement of the Lord, in particular to Brother Branham, that he should store in food and that it should be given out. And we believe that man does not live by bread alone, but from every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. And we may be happy, thanking him, that also we were addressed and that his word will accomplish in us for what it was sent for. The text of the sermon, the token, most surely it's well known to all of us. It is Exodus chapter 12. I would like to read it today again. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. This is the text which Brother Branham used for this sermon. And then he goes a step further and says, and this day, and today the sign is the Holy Ghost, which comes upon all who were redeemed by the blood. I had to think about it. Before Moses received the commandment to kill the lamb and to make the statutes that the Israelites had to kill a lamb, that the Lord already in the Garden of Eden, and this one can be, it can be read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. It says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Before he could have these skins, of course, the animals, the lambs, had to give their lives. If one reads later on, then Abel sacrificed a more excellent sacrifice to God, and he sacrificed. Then we see with Abraham in Genesis 22, here this man of God says to his son, Isaac to him, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? In verse 13 it says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. One could read on and on, taking other scriptures to it. But last night we found out what the Lord said through Moses in Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. The blood was given for an atonement. It should not be eaten, but it should be brought unto the altar for reconciliation. Christ, the Lamb of God, sacrificed himself and shed his blood so that we could be reconciled. To it, the word from Hebrews, chapter 9. Here, the apostle, in a very special way, he has written about Hebrews chapter 9. Perhaps we read it. Hebrews 9 from verse 11. But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, I would like to read from chapter 10, the verses, namely, from verse 15, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. About this subject, one could read and read, and the scriptures which are available, there are many of them. From the sermon of Brother Branham last night, we were reading, and I would like to take myself the liberty to read on, and together we want to ask God to reveal unto us the sum of all that and to speak to us so that we can recognize the perfect will of it. And for us, it's not about to take a large number of sermons to bring them upon our common denominator, but to bring one sermon to recognize from it what God planned and what was really said. The last two quotes I would like to read from last night. In the same way, that's the way it has to be with every believer today. Filled with the Holy Ghost, a token that the shed blood of the Lamb, that life that was in the Lamb, has returned back and it's sealed in the believers. Everybody passing by you, talking to you, or that has any association with you, sees that the blood has been applied. The evidence of the life that was in the blood is upon you. This is a mighty statement, and we found out that Brother Branham laid the emphasis on that the life of the animals which blood was sacrificed could not come back on man, because it didn't need to come, because by it they were not helped at all. But that the life of God, which was manifested in Christ, comes upon all who were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb with God. And it continues, how could there be a more perfect sacrifice than God Himself becoming the atonement? God was made flesh to shed His own divine blood. This was the only way that the life of God could ever come back. We were reading in Moses that the life is in the blood. Here, the life of the Spirit was in the blood, and the blood was shed so that the divine life could come back on us. I read on. The overall church, the bride, together has been made up through justification, sanctification, and the baptism in the Holy Ghost, which is the token. The church, which has the sign, which has received the sign of the baptism in the Holy Ghost, is washed in the blood, and the Holy Ghost is upon the church. We find out that here it is not only about signs which follow them who believe, but about the divine token. And as we read yesterday, that the divine life through the Holy Spirit was sealed in the believers. Outwardly, many can show signs and wonders, but it is about the life which was set free when the blood of the Lamb was shed. It was God's life. It is eternal life. It is the mind and everything what was in Christ. It was in it and will be manifested in the believers. And Brother Brim says, we can imitate every gift. We can produce all kinds of things. But the divine life can only be worked by God in you and me. There we cannot imitate anything. It must be a work of God. Then it continues, it's God's thing to seek the predestinated seed. All of them will be there. Each one of them, they will be united. All from every age, the water age, the blood age, and now the token age of the Holy Ghost. And now he says, and remember, Israel came through many things, but it was evening time when the token was required, not in the morning, not in the preparation of the Lamb. Israel knew that something is coming. This we wanted to say before already. The lambs which were killed before were a hint to that what would come. But when the promise of God, which he had given to Abraham, when it should be realized in his seed, and when they should be led out of Egypt and to become his church, there the blood was shed and was applied to the doorposts. And it was a token and a protection that God has made the covenant with him, with them, which he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, keeping it, and that the death cannot do anything, and that the destruction angel had to pass by. It continues here, it was the blood of the Lamb, the token, which at evening time was applied to the door. Yet the Lamb was already sacrificed. Throughout all the time, it was the Lamb. It was the Lamb in Luther's time, in Wesley's time, and so forth. But now is the token time, when each house must be covered by the token. Each house of God must be covered by the token. All that are inside of it must be covered by the token. The house of God is the body of Jesus Christ. And by one Spirit we are all baptized into this token and have become part of it. God said, when I see this token displayed, I will pass over you. The people of Israel had to be gathered. They could not remain dispersed, and not everyone could do what he liked. At evening time, they had to do that what God required. And we found out that at midnight hour, the destruction angel came and the people were led out. How often we emphasized it, that there should be light at evening time, so that we, until the midnight hour, when the Lord comes, that we have the way illuminated and that we can see where we go. Then it continues, now the very Spirit itself is the token. The Holy Spirit itself is the token. And then it says, the ministry of the bride and the ministry of Christ are the same. What Jesus Christ started to do, he continues even today. His death didn't stop him. No, never. He returned again. We know precisely that the Lord Jesus didn't remain in death, but on the third day he rose gloriously, and 40 days he was together with his disciples speaking about the kingdom of God. And then while blessed them, he was taken up into heaven after he gave them the last commandments by the Holy Spirit. And by this, he continues to do his work. It was the continuation of the work of God through the church. It continues here. Now, here we come back to what the church has got to do. the token has got to be displayed. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Nothing else would work then. It had to be the blood. Now the Holy Ghost is our evidence from God. And also this we emphasized. A man who was pardoned by God and who received forgiveness of his sin and guilt by the faith in Jesus Christ gets the divine answer through the Holy Spirit. An answer which we give to one another or to ourselves is not enough when it is about divine things. We need a divine answer. Here we are shown, in contrast to the Old Testament, in comparison, at that time it was the blood of the lambs, and the life of God could not come back on them who sacrificed the lambs. And therefore, the blood alone was the token. Today, we are shown, after the Lamb of God was killed, the life of God through the Holy Spirit comes back on the believers and is manifested through them. It continues here. They were identified by the works and signs of the Holy Ghost. They were speaking in tongues. They were prophesying and magnified God. They were identified with their sacrifice. The Holy Ghost is our identification, not our membership in churches, not our understanding, not how much you know about the Bible. It is how much you know about the author and how much the author is living in you. These are clear words. Nobody needs to interpret them. We just need to believe them. And I think they should really put us so in the corner that we understand that even all Bible knowledge, all message knowledge cannot be a substitute for the divine life which must be in you and in me. We are living, of course, in the time in which word and blood and spirit want to work together, and they must work together. We are living, of course, in the time in which the things were summarized and they are restored so that God can finally glorify himself. So the believer must be identified with his sacrifice, and the Holy Ghost is our identification with Christ. And this confirmation, as we read, is that he lives his life in us through his Holy Spirit. This was it, why Paul said, "Now I live no more, but Christ lives in me." It continues here. You yourself is gone. You are no more. You reckon yourself as dead. Only the evidence is what lives in you. It's not your life. It's not your life. It's as Paul said, now I live no more, but Christ lives in me. You are gone. You are dead. You cannot be seen anymore. You have been buried. Now only Christ shall be seen. It doesn't make much sense to speak about all the fruits of the Spirit unless the Holy Spirit was poured out and to work these fruits. And thereby we will recognize each one himself in how much we are following Christ. It continues. Would there be another safety for us? He sent his own life for a testimony that he received us. What a safety! Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He sent his own life back upon us as a witness that he had accepted us. Oh, that you and I and all of us who want to stand before God, that we put our focus really on the things which God emphasized after the opening of the seven seals. And we see that everything is required, what we have, so that God can give everything what he has and what he promised to give. One could read many things. It continues here. He who believes my words, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, has eternal life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. The case is dismissed. Amen. The fall does not exist anymore. It is breached. The bridge is made through Calvary. And the Lord said on the cross, verily, verily, I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise. Through the Lamb of God on the cross of Calvary, for all sons and daughters of God, the fall has become an arising, and the separation from God became an unification with God, and the guilty was acquitted, and he was given over to death has received eternal life. This is the message of the gospel. It continues here. This son, Adam was corrupt because he listened to his wife Eve instead listening to God, and the woman listened to the devil instead to her husband. And when they did it, they were corrupted, and so the pollution started. Also, this sequence is the divine sequence, and we see that God made this damage well again. by His grace. Then it says, the token is here. The Holy Spirit is our token. It belongs to God. It is His. When I see the token, I will pass over you. A positive token. What was it? The people of Israel was the chosen people of God. And God has given to His people the token. And everything else was destroyed by the angel. But God gave protection to His own in the hour of tribulation, and He kept them. It continues, the Holy Spirit is our token. Therefore, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you pass from death unto life. That is all there is to it. Because life is in you. You can no longer perish. We know how Brother Branham was teaching about it. That God's choosing and God's predestination is final and can be never be changed. So, we will live eternally because we received eternal life. It continues, the Bible said, he that is born of God does not commit sin, for he cannot sin, because the seed of God remains in him. Amen. The seed of God remains in him. How could he sin when the sinless God is in him? And when he is in a sinless God, how can he then sin? Both is listed here. That the true believer is in the sinless God, and that the sinless God is in the true believer. And then Brother Branham continues, no matter what he has done, the blood has covered him. From God's point of view, there's only one view to the redeemed. And this view is through Calvary, through the shed blood of the Lamb. The unbelievers, God doesn't look through Calvary because they don't come to the Lord receiving redemption for themselves. But for us, a sinless sacrifice was given so that the sinless God, as it says, that he can dwell in us and we can be in the sinless God. It continues, whoever has the token is sealed in there. They stayed right there until midnight struck and the trumpets blew. And when the trumpets blew and the old ram's horn began to blow, each one marched out with their provisions, going to the promised land. I believe that God slowly but surely he brings his matter to the close, and that we must deepen ourselves into these things, and that they become our spiritual food, and that God can bring them to the realization. It continues, so do all men and women who are filled with the Holy Ghost. They are sealed away and secure from all harm and danger. They are sealed into it and secure from all harm and danger. We of course know that even Adam and Eve, who we might call guilty, and blaming them for our sinful state. No, God didn't send them out of paradise until he clothed them with the skins. He didn't send them into the darkness without hope, but with full hope, being sure that the Lamb of God would come and that they are clothed into the garments of salvation. We must see the matter of God in the right way, and then also receiving it by faith, and not let coming up anything in us, but only speak the language of the Spirit, the language of God, the language of faith, encouraging one another, following the Lord faithfully, serving him until we come from believing unto seeing. It continues, when I see the blood, the token, I will pass over you. Remember, if that token was not displayed, even the covenant was annulled. That's right. The covenant would be annulled. There was no covenant as long as that token wasn't there. The token stood for the covenant. God made a covenant with them. But the token had to be displayed. The covenant wasn't in effect unless the token was there. This is a mighty word. We know precisely that God made the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that his descendants would be 400 years in the land of bondage, dwelling there. But now came the making of the covenant with the covenant people, and the blood of the covenant was shed. That's how we read it last night. And the people were sprinkled with the blood, and also the book of the covenant and the altar. These three things were sprinkled with the blood, and the covenant became valid. The making of the covenant could come into force, referred to us. The Lord made a new covenant, and all promises of God in this new covenant are yes and amen in Jesus Christ our Lord. But only when the blood-bought multitude can be equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit, then we are able to see the effect of the divine power and to see the fulfillment of the promises. Only then the covenant came into force, and they experience it in a wonderful way. It continues, you might say, I know the Bible. I'm a Bible student. I don't care what you are. Without that covenant, the wrath of God is upon you. You will not escape. Your sins will find you out. What is sin? unbelief. You disbelieved the message. You disbelieved the witness of the token itself when it has been identified in our midst. I just hope that we all, who we are in the presence of God here, and that all the others, wherever they might be, who are part of the church, of the firstborn, part of the blood-bought flock, that we are brought into conformity with God and His Word. And in the past week, I had to think about it. How many expectations were made in the lining up of the nine planets with the sun? And it all the matter just passed by us without that anything happened. But then the thought came to me. There are, of course, nine gifts of the Spirit and nine fruits of the Spirit. And when we line up completely with God and His Word, then the impact, the effect must be heard and seen and be felt here on earth. It cannot fail when we have been lined up with the Word of God. It continues. You might say, I believe that it is the truth. That's all good. But yet, it's got to be applied. Paul said, if I give my body to be burned as a sacrifice, give all my goods to feed the poor, and have faith to move mountains, and so forth, and speak in tongues of men and angels, and all these other things, I'm nothing until the divine token has been applied, until this evidence, what I'm speaking of tonight, the love, until it has been really applied. Otherwise, I'm nothing. Here we notice that it goes from the outward frame or about the byproducts of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It comes to the core of the matter, namely of the love of God, which is poured out by the Holy Spirit into our hearts. And the love of God is long-suffering. Yes, the love of God is the nature of God, is the life of God, and is being poured out into us by the Holy Spirit. And where this love of God is, there is the true evidence that God has given us His answer. But also, all the other things must not be missing. We can impossible be like men who are coming to God and are then fussy and just take off the table what perhaps they like at the moment. Let us look at the whole table of God, eating of it, to not put anything aside. But as Brother Branham says in this one sermon, all of the seven-course menu, taking it, eating it, it's in the seventh church age. In the seventh church age, it's really dished up in a way as never before. And for this, we are grateful to our God. It continues. But when I see the token, I will pass over you. It's God's requirement of this hour. It's not what Brother Branham meant, but as at that hour of the calling out, of the leading out, the blood was applied, and it was God's requirement. So now, before the rapture, the requirement of God is that the Holy Spirit comes upon all who receive the blood of the covenant for their redemption. Therefore, the emphasis. It's God's requirement of this hour. The evening time message is to apply the token. Here it's spoken out clearly and we're shown clearly what actually the whole purpose is of the message. Of course, not that we argue about this or that knowledge, but that we are united under one head, under one Spirit, the Spirit of God, under one Word, namely the revealed Word, coming together, letting God work through His Spirit. It continues. Now, the Holy Spirit is our token, the life that was in the blood. We will get to it in a moment. The Holy Ghost is the token. The case is closed. Now, remember, it doesn't matter what you are, how good you are, how many times you jumped up and down, how many churches you have joined. It will not help you unless the token is applied. This is the evening time. And we could take certain things. When did Elijah rebuild the altar? At evening time, at the time of the evening sacrifice, he has raised his voice to God and he took the 12 stones and he rebuilt the altar. In the meantime, all the other priests, they had their business. Did not God at evening time put the doctrine of the 12 apostles, putting them together? Has he not rebuilt the altar in the church? And pointing us in this time to that what we need. Now he says, and with this I come to a close. A Jew could plainly show by the circumcision that he was a believer. Now there are many who take the Bible and say, I'm a believer. And Jesus said that he that believeth shall be saved. They can say, I'm a believer, but the baptism in the Holy Ghost is nonsense. Then the token is not applied, no matter how much one claims to believe. Everything is annulled. For a man who not from the believes from the beginning to the end, it will not profit him at all when he has believed for a specific time certain things. The evening time message is here. It shall come to pass. At the end of the 14th day, you shall gather the congregation together and kill the lamb. The whole congregation of Israel shall kill it, putting their hands upon it, identifying themselves with it. And the blood shall be struck upon the posts and upon the lintel of the door. because these were the words of God. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. For this is the token that you have accepted the death of the Lamb that I have provided for you. The blood was the token. Now the Spirit is the token. You shall be filled with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Acts 1, verse 5. And when you received the Holy Spirit after you believed, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, this was a quote from Acts chapter 2, which Brother Branham repeated here. As the last one, I would like to read this one here. It is about the token. No matter how much you have done, how good you are, when the wrath of God flashes, only His token will be recognized. It is the token that the price has been paid that was required. The price that was paid was the life of Jesus Christ. He gave His life, and His Spirit comes back upon you as a token that you are received. Also, this is a very clear language. Here, it's not only about to be blessed when the Spirit of God is at work. Here, it is about a very personal experience with God. And we made the comparison once, already from the Old Testament. We know when Saul came under the prophets, he prophesied mightily, and the conversation was going around in Israel, since when is Saul among the prophets? But then when the hour came, he again tried to kill David. What happened? He was under the influence of the Spirit, but this matter bypassed him. Here, Brother Branham speaks of the indwelling of the Lord, who gave His blood and life, dwelling in you and my heart, of the divine life, of the new life, which knows not any hatred or envy, neither murder nor homicide, a life of God with reconciliation and with forgiveness from A to Z, as our Lord lived it for us as an example, when He even prayed for His enemies and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And when I cannot say yet that my hands and feet and my head was changed, then I still may found out, and this for the glory of my God, I can say that my heart He transformed. Unto the changing of our bodies, also the most holy ones are waiting, also the unblameable who never did anything wrong, they are all waiting for it. Their hands and feet and whatever they have on their body, nothing was changed yet. This still comes. But many times I've said it, and I repeat it here seriously. Whoever was not yet changed in his heart waits for the changing of the body in vain. Only there, where a divine changing has taken place in your and my soul, there a divine changing of you and my body will can take place. And so together, with all who love the Lord and who are waiting for his coming, we will walk forward and trusting him with all our hearts that whatever he has promised us, that he will give it to us by his grace. God has the fullness, and of his fullness we want to take and receive grace for grace, thanking him for the spiritual food. And don't you notice that God strengthens us at the same time where the things are shown to us? We are of course not standing or sitting here perplexed without hope, but God's word has become our food, strengthens us, and the faith comes by hearing. And then we don't look anymore on ourselves, but we look unto the Lamb of God who died for us on the cross of Calvary, giving his blood and life, so that his life through his spirit can come back on us. And if we look at his life, then we have all still to learn much. And also this must be said, outwardly we can adopt good manners, but if it doesn't happen through a divine life which is in your and my heart, then we deceive ourselves. It must be the work of God in you and in me by the power of his blood and of his word and of his spirit. Because these three bore record, and we believe the testimony of God, and with this we confirm that he is true, and that we are penetrated by his truth, and that we found grace in his sight. May the faithful God, through all these words, in you and in me and you, in all of us, may he fulfill in all who cannot be here today. And this I say consciously, deliberately, God's word came forth to call out, and God's word came forth to bring the called out ones unto completion. And some trials which might stand in between will not stop God in his program. He will come forth as the victor from everything, because he not only led out, he is able to also lead in. What did Moses say then at the time? So that your enemies cannot say that we're not able to bring us in according to your promise. The same we can say today. God made much efforts to lead out, to call out, and God will complete his own work. But most surely, firstly, the last ones have to be called out first from all peoples, tongues, and nations. The completion is of course not a small group here and a small group there. Everyone seeks the completion in his way. I'm honest this morning. I want the divine completion, experiencing it in a divine way. And I want to see that God at the end is glorified, blessing his people, fulfilling and confirming his promises. May his life be manifested through us by his grace. And after all the prophetic teaching, we are now, as we see by the sermons, after the opening of the seven seals, we come to the very personal teaching which every believer must take to heart, just as we have taken to heart all the other teachings. And God's word will not return void. It will accomplish for what he has sent it for. And what does the prophet say? Habakkuk in the Old Testament, he said, even the vision tarries, wait for it will surely come to pass. And so we believe it. If some certain things are tarry, this just means that the hour of God has not come yet. But when the hour of God comes, nobody will need to wait any longer. Then we will see what we believed. Could the Lord, in your heart, in my heart, could the Lord stir up a longing in you and my heart in these two meetings, what he promised and what he wants to bring to pass? Then we want to thank him now for it. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Teach me to believe. Teach me to supplicate. Trusting in you like a child. You are my Lord and God. You know the need. Teach me to believe. Teach me to supplicate. Let us do it together. Believing, supplicating, as God puts it into your heart. Hallelujah. O Lord, thanks be to you. Praise be to you. You have spoken to us. You meant us. Hallelujah. I thank you for it. And I ask you, teach me to supplicate. Teach me to believe all promises, hallelujah, which you have given, O God, O God. Praise be to you. Thanks be to you for your blood, for your word, for your spirit. Lord, answer thou with spirit and fire. Hallelujah. Fill us. Seal us. Baptize us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. O Lord. to receive all the praise, all the glory, all the worship. In the last meetings, we were reading from the sermons of Brother Branham, and I want to be very sure now whether you all agree with it and whether you are tuning in on your inside. This I must know, to know that God's blessing will break forth and that God can manifest himself in his power. We really want to walk forward in lockstep. And you will never see it here that I bring here a pile of sermons. I will always bring only one. I will not exchange certain things, putting it in my own program, but I will take myself the liberty to read, to strengthen us in the faith, and to give this spiritual teaching which received, to passing it on to all of us so that we can walk forward together. Do you really agree with all your heart? All? Amen, amen. You tune in on your inside. May God bless you all richly. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for this hour, and also for your speaking. Lord, now when we depart, O God, may you be with us. We want to trust in you, building upon you. Please, let your spirit take shape in us. May you come to your right in my life, in all our lives. We need you more and more. We need you until the end, until the last moment, until the last hour. We know your coming is near. Very soon you will take your own home. We want to be part of it. Let us find grace in your sight. Let us not draw back, Lord. Let us not have doubts of in your word. Let us stand by faith as your people, your prophets, your apostles. Lord, let us also persevere like them in all things. We worship you. Give us all strength, especially to my beloved brother. Give him special grace and strength. You know his way. You know everything. We leave everything up to you, and we know you will bring everything to pass. To your name be the glory and the praise and the worship. Lord, we surrender completely unto you, and we commit ourselves to you. May you continue to be with us, blessing us and all your people all over and all places. Also your people Israel, may you bless them, O God. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.